Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Woman. I'm Chris Stainis, and you're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Well, it's less than 1 week before we open our doors to so many women who are coming to Women of Wisdom. Our opening night is Thursday night. We've got our team, lots of people. 95% of our people are volunteers, are preparing to create a warm welcome for everyone to enter into with our opening ceremonies and all the evening presentations and fabulous workshops. And you've had a taste over the last few months of what they all have to offer, such diversity and gifts that they are so willing to share. So I encourage you to hop on a plane and get here, because you won't experience this in your hometown or other conferences. This is a unique conference. It's very experiential. And especially if you're in the Pacific Northwest, you can just drop in and register on site. There's always room in 90% of the workshops. If you're wanting to attend Jean Shinoda Bolen or Jean Houston, you might want to call the office to make sure you get into those two in particular. But if you didn't know, you can register for any individual event. You don't have to attend all weekend, and you can come to the door at Seattle First Baptist Church on Thursday, Friday, Saturday evening next weekend and just buy a ticket at the door. So don't let it stop you that you didn't pre-register ahead of time. Check out our video on YouTube. Just look for Woman of Wisdom celebrating 20 years. It's also on our Woman of Wisdom page, our website, womanofwisdom.org. And also, if you go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com, Women Wisdom Conference, if you like it, right now we have a coupon to attend MSARA's two-day workshop at a reduced fee. And that special fee is available through Monday at 5 p.m., and her workshop starts on Wednesday. If you want to really get into manifesting your life and getting you on your path, come work with MSARA. It's going to be great. And our online auction is live. Just go to biddingforgood.com. I think you can probably search for the Woman of Wisdom page. Anyone around the country can bid and even continue bidding during the conference, because we'll do absentee bids. So again, today I have some Woman of Wisdom presenters, and I'm very excited to introduce to you. And first, I'm talking with Dawn Dixon. She's a past council member and committee member of Women of Wisdom, and she has been involved in the exploration of the inner landscape and cross-cultural healing practices for 20 years. She's an instructor for the Sacred Circles Institute and initiate in the, I'll probably pronounce this wrong, Quero tradition of Andean shamanism. She facilitates women's retreats focused on depth, psychology, empowerment, and the circle as a transformative principle, and holds retreats for cancer patients focused on mindfulness and the healing properties of nature. She's a graduate of the Mehta Institute's End-of-Life Care Practitioner Program and holds a master's degree in clinical social work from the University of Washington. Her website is www.dawndixon.net, and she's doing a workshop Monday morning, February 20th, that is called End of Life Midwifery and the Sacred Art of Dying. So that's Monday on February 20th. And just go to our website and check that out. So welcome, Dawn, to Voices of Women.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yes. Well, and I know we're neighbors. It's so strange to be talking via Rhode Island, but here we are. Well, your topic is so important now, particularly I think with baby boomers. We're dealing with a lot of parents who are at their end-of-life stage, or are they themselves dealing with health issues, or their partners. And we live in a culture that doesn't really honor death. We do all we can to avoid it. It's all about youth and you know, and there's good things about it, you know, being active, staying healthy, you know, but the fact is, what do we do, you know, when our loved ones die? So how did you come to realize the importance of this work personally?
Well, you know, I think there are sort of four confluences that led into this river of work that I'm doing. And one is I've been a healthcare practitioner for 19 years as a medical social worker. So I've been around death a lot, and I've worked in critical care. I've done bereavement work for hospice. And currently I'm an oncology social worker. So I'm working with individuals and their loved ones who are dealing with cancer. Many of them get cured, and that's great. And there are many who do not, and they are in the process of facing their death. So I do a lot of end-of-life work with them, and I also am very involved in the palliative care movement. The second confluence is that I engage in a 9-month end-of-life care practitioner program through the Meta Institute in the San Francisco Bay Area last year. And it was very intensive, mindfulness-based program. And it was kind of a gestation period, and I feel as though this workshop is really the baby. You know, this is what's being born from that profound experience. The third confluence would be my personal experiences with death. All of us have had somebody who's died in our lives, and my father's death in 2000 really influenced some of this work. And then finally, I would say my spiritual path, where, you know, I really, when my time comes, I would really like to die consciously and do it differently than the ways in which I've witnessed. So those are kind of like the all the influences that come into this big river.
It's a lot, and it's very important work. I know I'm dealing with, my father is 100, and he's shifted from this summer being active, walking with a cane, to walking with a walker, to being in an electric scooter, in a wheelchair. And now he's in rehab because he was in the hospital last week, and they luckily, the doctors finally, they realized he could really benefit from rehab, where he's going to get physical therapy every day so that he can get stronger, because he's just, you know, with all the, it's fluid on the lungs kind of stuff. And so it's, you know, that's a short time to go through all that. So not only he's going through his stuff, we're going through it too. And, and we all need support for that.
Good for him, by the way. 100 years old. Wow. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the death practices in America. What's your view on that? I mean, is it out of alignment of what people really need, or is it so sterile, or, you know, what's going on?
Yeah, you know, what's interesting, Chris, is that 85% of Americans say they want to die at home, but only 25% do. So right there, you can see that we're out of balance. And, you know, I think that what's happened historically, if you look back over the last 80 years, is you see that there are two industries that, in a sense, kind of co-opted the deathing process. And one is the medical industry, where, and I use that word industry because these are, you know, for-profit organizations. And, you know, and I want to say that I have respect for healthcare. And, you know, if I'm in an acute situation, I really appreciate healthcare and technology and all of that. But the out-of-balance piece comes where we see that we've come to pathologize death. And, you know, this natural process in our lives. And so, you know, one of my teachers is Angelus Arian, and she says there are four great mysteries in life. One of them is birth, the second is initiation, the third is love, and the fourth is death. And in a way, death encompasses all of those. The wisdom traditions show us that death is a birth. It's certainly an initiation into a new realm, and that we dissolve into love. As, you know, the wisdom traditions will tell us that. So it's a very profound time, and what's happened is we've divorced ourselves from the sacredness, the really the sacred aspect of this most amazing time. And what I think that the healthcare industry has done is really, in a way, made death the enemy. It's made death an outrage, so that we fight death. And, you know, and certainly there are times to you know, do that. We want to live. But then there comes a point in which, what are we really doing here? And so what happens when 85% of the people die in hospitals is that they're not in their own natural settings, sacred space is not created, and, you know, so we don't have that. And, you know, and in a sense, we don't have a foundation to stand on with this. We aren't taught how to approach death at all. In the Buddhist traditions, it's a lifelong process where death is looked at. In our culture, it's quite taboo still. I'm amazed how taboo it is, despite the hospice organization, you know? And one of the things about hospice that's so interesting, you know, it started out as a grassroots organization to attend to the spiritual needs of the dying, but at some point it got in bed with the healthcare system and became a reimbursement organization. So the focus becomes, quota and documentation for regulations. If you talk to hospice workers, many of them say they can't do the work that they want to do. So you have the healthcare industry influence and the funeral industry influence as well.
In a way that's so sad because you have this impression that hospice is, you know, for the family and for the person who's dying, and it's a service of, you know, I just have a respect for that word, and yet to hear that it's being
And I want to be careful. You know, I want to be a bit careful because I'm really happy to have hospice, and I think that everyone's doing the best they can. But in a capitalist society, when death becomes a commodity, it changes the nature of what we're doing. And so, you know, people become very rushed, and they can't do the work that they want to do. I commend hospice, and I know that they are experts in pain management at end of life. Mm-hmm. But if you talk to hospice workers, they'll tell you the same thing. You know, that what's happening here, they'll say, you know. So, you know, you have that influence. And then the funeral industry came in. And, you know, this is where corporations sort of tell people how death has to be. And, in fact, some of that isn't even true. You know, the funeral industry will tell you that, for example, you need to have a casket if you're going to have burial, and you need to have a lining to that casket. And all of these things translate into numbers, you know, into dollars, when in fact those things aren't really true. And there are independent funeral homes who have sort of taken that on, and they're really focused more on finding out what people really want and on the home funeral vigil and all of that.
Yeah, and we're going to have to go to a commercial break now. I want to go more into that because I think there is some alternative things happening. So you're listening to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more with Dawn Dixon.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
The root cause of disease is not what you think. Doctors are treating the symptoms, not the root cause, because they haven't been trained to do so. Dr. Alex Lloyd has developed a simple technique that has saved thousands of people from lives of frustrating and debilitating illnesses. This technique has been featured on national broadcast and cable television in People, Time, and USA Today. If you are ready to heal and tired of being treated, visit DrAlexHealingCodes.com, where you will find free life-changing information.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Come to Seattle February 16th through the 20th for the 20th annual Women of Wisdom Conference. The theme is Radiate the Divine Feminine. Our world is ready. Our featured guests are Jean Houston, Jean Shinoda Bolin, Imsara, Yubaka Hill, and Naomi Tutu. Join Women of Wisdom for experiential life-changing workshops and evening presentations to inspire you. You can choose to attend the whole weekend or individual events. No charge for visiting. Daily activities such as the Goddess Market, Art Show, Tea House, and receive a reading or a healing at the temple. Are you ready to join a community of women who support each other in their journey to discover and develop their passions and purpose in life? Women of Wisdom is the place to be this February 16th through the 20th. Go to womenofwisdom.org to discover all the diverse offerings Women of Wisdom has to offer you. See you there.
Welcome back. I'm Chris Stainis, and this is Voices of Women, and I'm talking with Dawn Dixon, and we've been talking about the sacredness of dying, the whole death process, and how the and what's happened to with our institutions handling that dying process. So, Dawn, let's talk a little more. You know, this whole sacredness of dying, around dying, and then how, because your workshop is about midwifery, you know, which is helping. How do we help our loved ones pass in a sacred way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, the word midwife means with woman. So that, we're reminded that attending to the dying isn't something for, you know, necessarily for a professional person. It's really about each of us being present. And you know, women have been attending to deaths and births forever. And then of course, you know, certain things happened in our history to kind of alter that a bit, but still women are there. I tell people that, you know, there are lots of things we can do at end of life, but the two most important factors that kind of are umbrellas over all of it are, one, the art of presence. That if we can't be fully present at the bedside of somebody who's dying, we're not really there. And so, you know, meditation really helps with this. Any kind of a practice that allows us to get fully centered so that we can really be with people and it's not about our own stuff. The second piece is the importance of doing our own death work. Because what happens is if we don't look at our own death, which, you know, much to people's dismay, will happen someday, if we don't do that, we're going to bring that to the bedside. And all of our countertransference and our biases and our fears and all of it comes with us. And I see that with healthcare professionals as well. When we start to kind of decide how somebody should die, we know that we're probably deep into our own stuff. And it's not our place to really determine how somebody dies. What we do is expand our awareness so that we can really hear people and be with people. You know, so those are the two big pieces that I think have to be done before we can really do the work. And so, you know, we have that, and so there's really, you know, kind of three components. There's working with the dying before death. There is what to do during the dying process and at the moment of death, and then what to do afterwards. And so, you know, we can kind of break that into components. I think there are really three things that kind of hold us back when it's time to make this most amazing transformation. And, you know, one is that we have great fears about dying. And maybe more than that, that's one part. But the other part is fears about perhaps the unlived life or things that we've done or haven't done. So that's there. We have, you know, all that unfinished business. And then also we have responsibilities to our loved ones. So before death, and not doing it in a way that imposes, I think it's really important to give space for people to talk about those things. You know, it's really a clearing process. The time of death is an exceptionally powerful opportunity for purifying and, you know, really for letting things go. Shamanically speaking, actually, and kind of throughout the wisdom traditions, there's an understanding that whatever we don't sort of tend to, we can bring with us, and then we have to deal with it on the other side. It's easier to clear things up while we're in a body, they say. So we can make an opportunity for people to do that before they die. And I think a big part of that is forgiveness work. And really, I've found that people forgive others pretty easily, but they're less inclined to forgive themselves. So, you know, hopefully there's an opportunity for that discussion in a safe way that doesn't impose. And there's a whole recounting of a life, you know, that whole life review piece happens. So then, you know, during the active dying process and at the moment of death, you know, I think one of the most important things is when somebody dies, to really not disturb the body right away. When my father died, it was sort of a, you know, really bittersweet time. And the funeral home came and zipped him up in a plastic bag. And I remember thinking, there's something wrong about this. Like, there needed to be more time and space and attending. And, you know, the soul or the spirit doesn't just fly off immediately. So it's really important in terms of creating the sacred space to allow time, you know, for that transition to take place.
Well, that's really good information for people, because you don't have to have them come right away. We think that. I remember when my mom passed away, you're kind of in this, what do you do? You know, I mean, I let the, she was in the nursing home, and I let them know. And it took a little while for them to get there. My father was able to come, and I don't know if he really wanted to, but we, because it was like 3 a.m. But I remember, too, and just sharing what some of the things you were talking about is, for me, it was allowing my mother to have her place. She wasn't very talkative. She said it was, she couldn't even explain what she was feeling, you know. And I'm seeing that in my dad right now, too. It's like they're going through their own process, and you have to honor that. And if they don't want to talk, it's their own personal process.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a thing, it wasn't, words weren't necessary, because there was just the energetics going on and the love. And I didn't have a need. I didn't feel the need for her or for myself to go through a lot of, you know, talking things over at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we need to honor where people are and what their own spiritual traditions are. But there's nothing that says that we can't say I love you, that we can't, you know, pray and wish people well and open the space up for that transition to happen. So, you know, the other thing is that is really helpful in the dying process right before death is, you know, people will begin to breathe in a certain way. And it can be really helpful for the person who's sitting at the bedside meditating to breathe with the dying person. And that rhythm is really a comforting thing. It's a meditative practice unto itself. So that is, you know, one thing to remember. The other thing is that the human ear is the first sense organ to develop in the fetus and the last one to leave us, so that, you know, the dying person can hear us. So our comforting, reassuring, loving words, our gratitude, all of those things matter right before death and at the moment of death. And so, you know, I mean, those are some of the things that you know, can happen, you know, that we can do for people.
Yes, and that's very easy. And it doesn't, because it can be scary. And we think, what are we going to say? We don't have to say anything. You know, if you're just in that love tone, sending love, like you say, breathing with them, holding their hand, just, they know you're there to,
Yeah,
because sometimes it's awkward, or people feel awkward.
They do. And, you know, it's interesting because I've been at a lot of bedsides of the dying, and sometimes the room is incredibly heavy. And usually it's not the dying person's energy that's heavy. Usually mm-hmm. it's the loved ones and their just tremendous grief, and I honor that grief. And occasionally I have been places where the energy in the room is really quite pristine. It's just clear and clean. If we can look at death neutrally, we can see that actually it's a beautiful, peaceful event. You know, provided somebody's not in a great deal of pain, which, you know, we can attend to. Really, quite lovely, and a lot of people wouldn't say that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we certainly need to kind of look at what our own grief process is and attend to that.
Well, do you think it's, when you're in that situation, is it more important to set aside your grief and be there for the person and then maybe afterwards tend to your grief? I mean, because
it's hard because our grief is our process and it's going to be with us. However, I think the most important thing is to be aware of what we're feeling. When we kind of shove it aside is when it clings to us and we hold on to it. I think, you know, doing some grief work before we go into the bedside is really good. Mm-hmm. I think shedding tears is fine, but also that it's really important just to be able to say it's okay, you know, and give permission to people to die. You know, dying people will hang on because they're worried about their loved ones.
Right, or they'll die when you leave the room.
They do that. It happens a lot. Yeah.
I know with my mother, I was just meditating with her and sitting by her, and I non-verbally, but I just said, you know, it's okay to leave now. It's complete. And, you know, within an hour. And I went and laid down, and we fell asleep. My sister and I fell asleep. We didn't intend to fall asleep. We just fell asleep. And I woke up to, you know, didn't hear her breathing. And so, it was okay.
Yeah. My father died. My brother and my mother and I, he was at home. And we were out on the patio telling stories and laughing. And that's when he died.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, and I take comfort in that, you know, he probably heard our family telling stories and enjoying each other, and that's when he chose to slip away.
Yeah, and they do choose. Well, I want to let everybody know, again, Dawn's workshop is February 20th at 9 a.m., the end of life midwifery and the sacred art of dying. If you want to go, this one could fill up. It's already got a nice list of people attending it. So check it out on womanofwisdom.org. So I'm Chris Stainis. You're listening to Voices of Women. We'll come back. I'll be talking with Emily Dijkstra and Kathy Sims.
Come to Seattle February 16th through the 20th for the 20th annual Women of Wisdom Conference. The theme is Radiate the Divine Feminine. Our world is ready. Our featured guests are Jean Houston, Shinoda Bolin, Imsara, Yubaka Hill, and Naomi Tutu. Join Women of Wisdom for experiential life-changing workshops and evening presentations to inspire you. You can choose to attend the whole weekend or individual events. No charge for visiting. Daily activities such as the Goddess Market, Art Show, Tea House, and receive a reading or a healing at the temple. Are you ready to join a community of women who support each other in their journey to discover and develop their passions and purpose in life? Women of Wisdom is the place to be this February 16th through the 20th. Go to womenofwisdom.org to discover all the diverse offerings Women of Wisdom has to offer you. See you there.
Are you seeking clarity? Do worries about your health, job, parents, children, or pets keep you awake, tossing and turning at night? Are you considering a major life change? Looking for love? Do you want to create a life of joy? Let psychic Elizabeth Anglin help. Visit ElizabethAnglin.com or call 970-708-4838 to schedule your life clarifying appointment today. Don't waste time being worried. Psychic Elizabeth Anglin at ElizabethAnglin.com or call 970-708-4838.
Imagine a chocolate so decadent that you'd never believe it could be good for you. Align your inner bliss with Mother Nature's magic. The power of cold-pressed cocoa by Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Shosai is everything you ever dreamed healthy should taste like. We combine unprocessed cocoa with acai and blueberry for an unbeatable high oxidant powerhouse. Josai, the healthy chocolate. Visit us at lifesaverchocolate.com or call 888-287-2011.
If you've gone through a separation and feel disappointment, despair, loss of identity, and fear, there is a new pathway to joy for you. SoulWorks Coaching empowers you to go through this separation with soul and hope. So get ready to step into a new relationship with yourself and build a fabulous new life. Contact Monique today at 617-328-7113. That's 617-328-7113. And visit soulworkscoaching.com. Give yourself this gift of love today.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Women of Wisdom, Women of Wisdom, Women of Wisdom, rise and shine.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women, and you just heard Lorraine Bay singing our Woman of Wisdom theme song. She'll be singing on the opening night, and you can purchase that CD. It's a fabulous CD. It's music from Holly Near, Rhiannon, Libby Roderick, and it's a very inspirational CD. It's people who have sung at our conferences over the years, so I encourage you to check that out at womanofwisdom.org. Well, let's welcome Emily Dijkstra and Kathy Sims. They're going to be giving a workshop Saturday morning, February 18th, and it's called Here I Am, A Fiber Art Journey to the Heart. So Kathy is a vocal coach and artist on a mission to help people transform their lives, and she combines visual and performance arts with a background in social services and graphic design to help people explore the possibilities of their creativity. Emily Dijkstra is a fiber artist and yoga teacher, and she is committed to help people access their own unique and individual creativity through movement and tactile experiences. She also has nearly two decades of experience empowering people to enhance their lives through social service. So together, they've come together to put together this workshop and other work that they do. They meld song and paint, fiber and yoga into a medium that impacts the soul. So they both have this dynamic energy and enthusiastic support to help their students explore new means of self-expression and unleash their lives. So they call themselves this duo, the Alive and Fabulous is what they call it. That's what you call yourself, Alive and Fabulous, a duo from Seattle. Yeah. So welcome, Kathy and Emily.
Thank you. It's pretty fun to say Alive and Fabulous. You can't not smile, right?
That's true.
When you say it, you just want to smile.
Well, and I know I have a feeling that you just bring that exuberance with you where you guys go and do this work. So you make everybody else smile.
Yeah, and hopefully smile at themselves. Right? Like, hopefully really have that internal smile about what makes the individual alive and fabulous. That's what we're really about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sometimes you have to dig deep for that. I mean, you know, we're so affected by the media and the news reports that always have something horrible happening, you know, whether it's here in Seattle or around the world, and it can impact us. Sometimes it's hard to tap into that inner joy. I remember driving down a street recently, and I saw some students coming out of walking to high school at lunch break, and there was this one guy alone. His head was down walking along, and I just had this thought, like, I want every child to be happy. It's just this thought came to me. You know, it's kind of like, you see other groups of kids are laughing and talking. There's this one lone guy, and it's like everybody has a right to that happiness.
Yeah. When Kathy and I were talking about Alive and Fabulous, we really got that everyone has their own innate, beautiful gift to share, and that we all have you know, the ability to shine, and we really work hard to try to help people see that and find something to cherish about themselves so that they walk around, you know, going down the street with maybe a smile or some joy in their step.
Mm-hmm. Well, you definitely fit in with Women of Wisdom, because that's what we're about too, is people finding their gifts and share, and sometimes people know it, but they're there to share it with others. I mean, we've been around 20 years, so we're kind of at the place like, okay, we've done our inner work. It's also now time to turn outside and help others find their paths, find their passions, their gifts, and we've got to shine outward.
Exactly. Yeah, that's really great that you say that. I mean, that really is my inspiration, is that when people are with Emily and I, they start to not only see the window inside themselves, like, what is it that I'm, like, longing to provide, right, as a full self-expression, but that it actually impacts other people. You know, it's really great to feel wonderful inside, but that is a self-expression that wants to get out. So how do we do that? What are the means for doing that? I was thinking that what would make a difference for people is that they would be able to capture that that moment when they get that insight of, like, what it is that they want to do in the world, that they have a way of capturing it. And that's where the art projects, you know, come into play, that they actually have a visual of what it is they're creating in the world that means something to them.
Yes, I know, just from the experience at Woman of Wisdom, people love to create with their hands and come away with something. I mean, I still have the things I've made. I've been in clay workshops where I've, you know, I've made a clay goddess for them. It's on my dresser, you know, and
oh,
it isn't.
Great.
Yeah, well, that's from, I don't know how long, 15 years ago. So, or dolls. We've had in the past people who've made spirit dolls, and you've made a doll. It's an expression of yourself. And so when you have it, it reminds you. And so that's great about your workshop. People will come away with something. Now, I'm looking at the description, and there's going to be ripping and shredding, too. So is that like releasing the old? Is that, you know, what's
it? Totally.
Sort of rippy?
Yeah, so we have, Emily and I love fabric, and I love paper, and anything I can put my hands on. So, and it's really the joy of, you know, cutting things up and ripping things up and gluing things down, and it's just such an expression, and everybody does it a little bit differently. You know, somebody might be really timid to rip a piece of fabric, but, you know, by the end of the workshop, they'll be old pros, right? And they'll get, you know, they'll be aggressive about it. Like, this is my expression, and it's going to get out. That's as much a part of the artwork. The process is as much a part of the artwork as the actual product you walk away with.
Oh, I think so, too. I'm reminded of, because I did a lot of art classes in college, and there was this art, we were outside in the quad, what they call the quad at UW, and I think I was angry, but I was putting a lot of energy into this drawing. It was charcoal or pencils or something, and I was, you know, just my hand was really going, and I was frustrated with what I was getting. I wasn't liking it, and I was just putting all that energy in the picture. Well, the teacher came and showed it as an example, and then he asked if he could keep it, which I'm sorry that I let him have it, because I didn't realize the value of it. And now I think about it, it's like all that energy. And recently I did a thing using crayons, and I was with friends, and I was drawing, and I was feeling that frustration, and but all the frustration was going into the piece that people were, you know, like, wow, that's really good. And it's only now, after getting out away from the feelings, I can look at it now and go, oh yeah, it is good. But in the moment, I'm just in those feelings. Well, all that energy is going into it, and that's when you're expressing yourself, and that is good art.
Yeah, totally. And it's so healing and
we've done this work with some women who maybe haven't had a lot of experience creating things, or haven't given themselves the opportunity to do that, and it's so freeing to watch them just kind of blossom just in a few hours, and they leave going, wow, this is me, this is what I've created, and you know, the pride that they take in that is such a blessing for us to be able to witness and share.
Yeah.
Well, let's backtrack a little bit and let's have you tell your story, how you came to this work personally. You know, what was your aha that this is the kind of work you're going to do in your life?
Wow.
So Emily, why don't you?
That's so loaded. Well, we were really lucky that we met professionally at our job and working with women in a housing program. And you know, our interests are so in the line of yoga and art and music. And we just had a conversation one day, and it kind of all blossomed. And we were like, why don't we do this? And it's just come from that.
Yeah, I have a background in performance. I sing locally and have been doing that kind of all along, you know, coinciding with my professional life, working with women and specifically the homeless. And Emily and we were just, I have to say, I fell in love with her the day that I met her. You know, she's just such a spirit, so beautiful, so wonderful. And I thought, I wanted to have a connection with her that was beyond just our work experience, right? And it just was natural. Mm-hmm. It was just a natural. It just showed up in our conversation. And then we were like, well, how can we take everything that we enjoy doing and make it something that people would get something out of? So it really for us has been a journey too, like the whole journey to the heart. It's a journey to our heart. It's a journey to our self-expression, to what makes a difference for us and in turn for other people.
Yes, because it has to start with you first, because and you're passing that along to others. And if you don't have it in yourself, how can you teach it?
Of course.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
So do you find this is going to be a yes answer, but, you know, it seems like your work is more powerful having combined your talents together. You know, that synergy when we come together becomes greater than the individual parts.
Do you mind if I answer that, Emily? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have desired my whole entire life to find someone who is on the same page with me creatively. You know, I've been an artist since I was a child, you know, always creating things. And it always was, oh, I wish I had someone to share this with. I wish I had someone who could bounce ideas off of me or, you know, back and forth with. I wish. And when I met Emily, I knew she was the one, right? Like, I really did. Much like a romantic relationship, I was like, oh, my gosh, we can create something amazing together, and we are so much bigger. I don't think either of us would be doing this right now individually, although now I think our passions are so big that if we were ever to part ways, that maybe, you know, we would continue doing the kind of work we do, but at the time, I don't think we would have. And so this partnership is just amazing. It's been amazing for us.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we're going to talk some more with Emily and Kathy. This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Come to Seattle February 16th through the 20th for the 20th annual Women of Wisdom Conference. The theme is Radiate the Divine Feminine. Our world is ready. Our featured guests are Jean Houston, Jean Shinoda Bolin, Imsara, Yubaka Hill, and Naomi Tutu. Join Women of Wisdom for experiential life-changing workshops and evening presentations to inspire you. You can choose to attend the whole weekend or individual events. No charge for visiting. Daily activities such as the Goddess Market, Art Show, Tea House, and receive a reading or a healing at the temple. Are you ready to join a community of women who support each other in their journey to discover and develop their passions and purpose in life? Women of Wisdom is the place to be this February 16th through the 20th. Go to womenofwisdom.org to discover all the diverse offerings Women of Wisdom has to offer you. See you there.
Are you ready for an extraordinary life? Introducing Spectrum Life Design Education. Spectrum seminars and training are intended for you to discover and redesign the core beliefs that generate your life results, circumstances, and experiences. By utilizing a synergistic approach to the art of living, participants are provided with experiential and practical tools that raise their level of consciousness that embrace the whole person, mind, body, heart, and spirit. These principles allow you to transform your ability to engage your authentic yearnings, to profoundly connect with yourself and others, and maximize your potential and greatest dreams. For more information, as well as course schedule, please visit us at spectrumlifedesign.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Women of Wisdom, Women of Wisdom, Women of Wisdom, rise and shine, Sister Light, Spirit of Woman, rise and shine.
Well, welcome back. This is Chris Stainis, and this is Voices of Women. And I am talking to two Women of Wisdom presenters, Emily Dijkstra and Kathy Sims, and they're going to be giving a workshop on Saturday, February 18th. It's at 9 a.m. at North Seattle Community College. It's called Here I Am, A Fiber Art Journey to the Heart. So if you like being creative and like playing with fiber and fabrics and art materials, this is the one to go to. I think you can tell from the interview that you're going to have a lot of fun with Kathy and Emily. So, one of you, yay. So let's give out your contact information, your website, and how people can reach you.
Great. Yeah, we're located at www.aliveandfabulous.com, and that's the best way to reach us. We have a little noise on the outside here, so we're going to see if we can make that quiet down. Hopefully you're not hearing that. But did you get the website address?
Yes, aliveandfabulous.com.
Yep, and you have... that's us, Alive and Fabulous.
Okay, so what... tell us some of your participants' triumphs. How is this going to transform people's lives?
Oh, it's so great. So when... some of the feedback that we've gotten is that there's aspects, this one woman in particular, she said she didn't realize how much she cared about people. Now, I know that sounds pretty basic, but here's a person who really saw herself as, introverted and, really could do or do without, people. And from our workshop, she participated in a workshop about a month ago. She really got how much she cared about people and that it really makes a difference for her to be able to express that. And I followed up with her a little bit later, and she said she actually started volunteering, and she'd never done any volunteering. This is a woman who is in her early 50s, and, she just had a story about herself that she didn't like people and that she didn't really need them. And, gosh, that just warmed my heart so much because that's the kind of result I want to produce in the world, that people get that they love people, they really want to make a difference. If that's what you got out of my workshop, awesome. That just warmed my heart.
Yeah, is that when you realize, a lot of times, well, it's their fears that keep them from, you know, realizing something like that.
Yeah, of course. And she just got the room and the space to really tap into who she was authentically. And what's so great about it is she got to go home with a visualization of that. You know, when you combine all of the senses, you know, in our day retreats, we also do food. So there's, you know, we eat a meal together. We sing together. We do yoga. We meditate. We do an art project. We write. When you bring all of that together in a focused intention, it's amazing what you can achieve. It's amazing the outcomes, what you get for yourself. And then, you know, our hope, Emily and my hope, is that it actually makes a difference out in the world, that they take what they get out of our workshops and our retreats and then actually make a difference with the people around them and for the greater world.
Well, don't you? I think so, because, you know, if you've done your inner work and you're stepping into a new place and then being that, expressing that, it's going to have an impact on others. But we have to start with ourselves first.
Yeah, and what's really great about that, too, is that, you know, oftentimes we get all sorts of little insights or moments of, aha, yeah, that really matters. But I think it's the process of creating something that you actually get to take away with you that has it really cement, right, or solidify inside of you. And then it becomes really a part of who you are that you can access over, you know, over and over, as opposed to, oh, that was a really good idea, but I don't think so.
Yes, well, a lot comes out, I think, when you do art from your unconscious. And I remember I've participated doing meditations, giving meditations at someone who's done workshops at WOW, and years and years ago, and there were people snoring during the meditation. I mean, you know, people get tired, they don't have enough sleep, but they're snoring. But I make them draw afterwards, because sometimes when you're so deep in meditation, you don't know what you got. And when they start drawing and writing, these people who were snoring did get things, because it came out in their drawings. And then they realized, and so we tap into that inner self with this. We're not conscious of all the time. We don't always have, because we're so used to this society of being out there and just being active and doing, that we don't take the time to listen what's going on inside. So when you're doing this work that you do, like meditating or singing and creating something art-wise, it allows that inside of you to come out.
Yeah.
And you can go, aha.
It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful to see that, to see somebody shine from the inside out, you know? And then, you know, we close our workshop with sharing, so people really get to express with everyone in the group what it is that they created and what their vision for themselves is, you know, and that's just priceless. That's my favorite part the workshop. I mean, selfishly, it's my favorite part. I really get
And in that sharing, in that speaking, and, like, you know, I think women talk this way. Things come out as we talk. Our mind works, I think it's very important to share afterwards, because it's one thing. Because a lot of times people will give you reflection about what you put into this art piece that you may not have even realized too.
Yeah, that's so great.
We're very excited to have you.
Yeah, well, yes? Thank you. We're really excited too. This will be our first time presenting at WOW. We're very excited, and just as a gift to the people that participate in our workshop, we're going to be giving them, one person will walk away with a free participation in our upcoming Hardest Retreat, which is March 24th. And for the people who don't get that, they get an opportunity to register for 50% off of our upcoming retreat, just as a thank you to the people who come and stay with us next Saturday.
Well, that's great. I encourage you to post that on the Woman of Wisdom Facebook page and on your page, that people know that they, you know, it would be good for people to know that. Yeah, so thank you for being here today. It's great to talk to you. So Everybody check them out on their website, which is aliveandfabulous.com. And also on the Women of Wisdom, our conference page. Again, they're doing a workshop on Saturday morning at 9 a.m., February 18th at North Seattle Community College. So this is Chris Stainis, and I'm going to leave you with the thought today of express yourself, go inside and meditate this weekend, do an art project, or if you were listening to the first talk today on the sacredness of dying and getting in touch with what that means for you, and if you're dealing with that in your life of a loved one in their final stages, check out DawnDixon.com is her website, too. So, everybody, have a great weekend. I hope to see you February 16th through the 20th at our conference. And want to remind you, you can purchase tickets at the door for most of the events. And I want to thank Dr. Pat Show for her sponsorship for the conference. So this is Chris Stainis. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
Been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Stainis.